Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Many churches reopen on Pentecost. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead. Holly, thousands of churches across the nation held the first in-person service for many of those churches on May 31, which is actually Pentecost. It was Pentecost this year, the last Sunday in May. And Pentecost is the seventh Sunday after Easter, and it marks the birth of the Christian church when the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles and the followers of Jesus. This is all part of this reopened church nationally. We began to launch that in April, and others began to pick up on it. And in California, a bunch of California churches decided Pentecost is the day that they're going to open up because they were under severe restrictions. Other churches opened the first Monday in May, others after that on Mother's Day, the next Sunday. The first Sunday in May was May 3, and then the next Sunday was Mother's Day. And then, of course, the last Sunday was Pentecost. So May had a lot of important dates and a lot of time where churches across the country began the process of reopening. However, though, there's still some churches that are still not open.
You know, it was exciting to see in California a really unified effort of thousands of pastors got together, wrote a letter, sent it to the governor, and said, you know what? We've waited long enough. We are opening. And I think about Pastor Jack Hibbs in California, and he said, our leadership in our state has systematically insulted people in a state of political correctness. How dare we? We should have thought that one through. When you tell somebody who is hurt and wounded with no hope and no Jesus, you're not essential. You've sent them to their grave. Everyone is essential in the heart of God. And, you know, I think that was the heart of all these pastors that said, we have waited long enough. We have obeyed for weeks, for months now, and it's time to open our doors.
Yeah, it's time. And the river at Tampa Bay Church in Florida, which is in the Hillsborough County, Tampa area, held its first service since the pastor was arrested on the last Sunday in March, and he could have held the services right after that. He could have never skipped a beat because a day and a half after he was arrested, the governor in Florida issued an executive order that removed all the restrictions on churches. All restrictions on houses of worship were gone since April 1. But the reason why he chose not to have in-person services is not because he was not able to, because the restrictions were lifted. They were gone. But he had other issues to deal with, and that is death threats. He had death threats as a result of that arrest. The church had a bomb threat. He wanted to let things calm down a little bit before he did the physical reopening. So he chose Pentecost also on his own. He, in his prayer, felt that that was the time to open the church, and so they did. But they opened it with an outdoor service because they wanted to be able to accommodate a lot of people.
Yeah, it was amazing. They had thousands there. They brought in like 100,000 square feet of AstroTurf and covered the parking lot, and people brought their own chairs and their own seating, their umbrellas, and he just had service.
They
it
had
was
a
amazing.
Service.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They had babies that were dedicated that day, and
yeah, the
it
service
was just an
started
awesome
at
time.
9:30 and went until 1:30, and then it started again at 5:30.
Right, and they just started a week of revival services.
Yeah, every day.
Yeah,
outside, beginning at 5:30. Mm-hmm. So it was the beginning of an ongoing revival service.
Right,
and the people were so excited about being there. He dedicated lots of babies, and had a great time of praise and worship and a message, and people had fellowship, and they came literally thousands of them. To this church, and more are coming. They will go inside soon. They had invited the pastor, the sheriff, the Hillsborough County Sheriff, who arrested the pastor. The pastor had invited him to come to the church, and they've already had a three-hour meeting, by the way.
Of course, the charges have been dropped.
At the pastor's home.
Right.
The charges have been dropped. They met, actually, at his home. They, you know, wanted to be able to reset everything. And the pastor had already forgiven him on the very first day, amazingly, for the arrest. And he said that publicly, but he said it to his face as well. And he said that he wanted to invite him to come to the first indoor service to come up on stage where the pastor and the church will publicly forgive him.
Oh,
and
that'll be amazing.
And the sheriff has accepted an invitation.
Right.
And it's not something secret because the media has reported on this as well.
Right.
He was going to come to this first outdoor service.
And he helped with the security, so he got all that
lined
up.
He did, yeah. And they had Hillsborough County Sheriff Department deputies there for the security. But the reason why he didn't come to the first opening service outside is because he was up until 4 a.m. due to all of these riots. And he was making sure that the area in Hillsborough County, different places where these things were taking place, were secure. And so he wasn't able to come to that. But he'll be there at a future service. So that was the Tampa Bay Church. This is the first pastor in the country that was arrested. And this is really what put all these restrictions and the issues regarding pastors and churches on the radar, not only in our nation, but worldwide.
Right. And you know, you have New Life Church in New Jersey. It had its first indoor service on Pentecost with a couple hundred people. And the pastor said, you know, prolonged isolation is producing depression, domestic violence, and even post-traumatic stress disorder. And that's why people need to come back to church. That's the reason why it's time for us to open. It's the oath of my ordination to take care of the people that have been assigned to me.
Yeah.
Now, that's a true pastor.
That's a real pastor.
He cares about his people.
He really has it right. You know, he knows that, and we said this at the very beginning, we got some pushback for it, that these lockdowns would ultimately result in all of these social indicators skyrocketing. They did, they have, they still will. People have died, literally have died because of these lockdowns through depression, through suicide. The divorce rate and inquiry regarding divorces has gone up. Pornography has gone up. Child abuse has gone up. Depression, anxiety, use of alcohol, prescription, as well as illegal drugs has gone up. Lots of problems that have happened. What we see happen is the morale in nursing homes has gone down.
Sure.
These people who can't see their families or their friends, where they're isolated, they're literally in like a isolated jail in their rooms because they can't come out of their rooms.
Right. Well, it's like what Pastor Jack Hibbs said. If you point your finger at people and say, you're not essential, you're just sending them to a grave. I mean, how more discouraging is that? If I tell you, you're not essential, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And so we've had so many of these things happen around the country. And now we find that a lot of the things that were put out there, the scare tactics, have been proven wrong. The Center for Disease Control now says that the death rate from COVID is going to be like 0.26. That's a quarter of 1%. That's flu. That's the annual flu season death rate.
Right.
And 0.2%, and instead of the 3 to 4% that they predicted, 0.26, one quarter of 1%. That's the flu death rate. And that's from the Centers for Disease Control. Then you have the New England Journal of Medicine coming out, a very reputable medical journal, saying that masks don't work. In fact, they can actually be more problematic. The only way that you can protect yourself is if you have a mask and you combine that with goggles, eye protection, a coat lab that you can remove, you know, like the medical people wear, because that protects anything from going on your clothing, and then you just remove that. And also frequent hand sanitizing. So mask, goggles, or some kind of eye protection, a cloak or like a coat, and frequent hand sanitizing. If you just have the mask, you'll still get whatever else that you have on your body. And frankly, what we also know is that it gives a false sense of security.
Right.
People don't know how to dispose of them.
Plus, you're breathing your own carbon dioxide over and over for long periods of time. So.
And then we also have found that there's research now that somebody who is COVID asymptomatic, there's really no or very little evidence that they can actually transmit the condition. Over and over again, what these scare tactics were promoted to be have been undermined and proven to be false. And they've proven to be exaggerated at a minimum. And these were used for all these severe lockdowns, including the churches. And they never even allowed the churches to engage in hygienic processes like they did these other quote-unquote essential operations. But now the churches are beginning to reopen. Encourage others that are closed to continue that process of reopening. You can go to our reopenchurch.org website, reopenchurch.org or lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776.